Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 16th, 2014, and with me today is Kelly Gaumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great, especially now that we have a show that's really recording.
Hooray!
Hooray. And also, Brian Chaffin, how are you, Brian?
Ça va bien.
Ooh la la, mon ami. We just went international right there.
We did, yeah. It's an honor of World Cup. I think they play the football in France.
Yes, the sport ball thing.
Yes, exactly.
Indeed.
Yes. Okay, so first today, I'd like to take a look at a piece you wrote, Brian, which I thought was really kind of interesting. We covered the whole deal with Amazon Prime Music starting up. But what we didn't know at the time was that Universal Music wasn't part of that whole deal.
Yeah, and you know, it's because Amazon launched with 1 million songs, and that sounds like a lot of songs because it is a lot of songs. But it turns out it's none of the songs owned by Universal Music Group, which is a lot of the songs. And it turns out that Universal wouldn't give Amazon a license, and we don't know why. There's a couple of interesting theories out there. The first, of course, is just to note the coincidence that Interscope Records, which is a part of the Universal Music Group, is or was headed or will soon not. Actually, we don't know when he resigns. He probably won't resign until the Beats deal goes final. But anyway, he's Apple's newest executive because it's Jimmy Iovine.
Huh. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Now, we don't know for sure, of course, that there's a direct corollary, but it's certainly something that's interesting because Jimmy Iovine has a lot of influence within the Universal Music Group, even though he does not head the Universal Music Group. Now, a more likely scenario is that Universal simply wanted more money than Amazon was willing to offer. And as we know, Amazon is willing to just not have some products on its website, even if they're on its website, let alone if they don't have them on their website yet. So that could be a reason. And then there's my third little pet theory, which is that maybe the folks at Universal realized that there was very little point to allowing Amazon to devalue their catalog by making it a freebie Me Too add-on that comes with Amazon Prime and is something that most Amazon Prime members won't even ever think about.
And I think that's a really interesting theory because the whole idea of devaluing your product, in this case their music library, by making it just a teaser thing to draw people into another service and not getting paid very much for the privilege of being devalued, just it doesn't seem like a good business move. So when you first said that, I was like, oh, yeah, I could totally see something like that happening. So I'm betting money plays a big role in this. Well, money always, it's business.
But then, let's point out who we're talking about here. Okay, so Universal Music Group isn't necessarily the name that will mean things to people, but some of these names might. Lady Gaga, U2, The Beatles, The Cure.
The Beatles are not with Universal.
All of their publishing is through them. All of their they have an official business relationship with Universal. I was just looking it up. So, and that's who's listed. But what we're talking about is there used to be five. I say used to be. It was like 15 years ago. There were basically five record labels, and everybody was under one of those. So you were on Interscope, which was part of Universal Music, or you were on something else, which was part of Capitol. And through a bunch of merging, they all became five. And then in the last few years, those five have become three. So if you can't get one of those three on board, it is a very, very big deal, and it is a noticeable hole in your catalog. So yeah, maybe you have 1 million songs when you go live, but you know, if none of those 1 million songs include Queen or The Who, you know, those kind of things, like people are going to notice.
It's true. And it should, in theory, leave Prime Music at a disadvantage when you're looking at the market leaders like Spotify and even Pandora to a lesser extent, where they're not really directly analogous in the, mm-hmm. in the world of competition, let alone, of course, the new entry of Beats Music and Apple's own effort with iTunes Radio. It could, in theory, be noted. Now, I didn't particularly note this in the piece, but Universal has always been willing to hold out. If you remember, they pulled their music from iTunes for a while.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they, that's a few years right. ago.
You know, and it took them a while to come on board with that. It was Universal that ended up launching Hulu, and they were not part of – this is, of course, not the label side. This would be the video, the movie side. They were not – their movies and videos were not on iTunes for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Universal definitely is, you know, they're a company that wants what they want.
Yeah, and they're not afraid to go after it. You know, like, they're not afraid to play hardball. Instead of just coming out and saying, boy, you guys better be nicer to us, they're going to take their bat and ball and go home.
Yep.
And they're in a position to be able to do that, especially if this is a money-losing proposition for them.
Precisely.
Well, it's not. I think that the other label signed up because they just saw it as like, okay, great. It's either $25 or $50 million, depending on which story is accurate. And, you know, we can throw a big party with that. So that, you know, they see it as just found money. But like I said, to me, it's training your customers to devalue your product like everything else that Amazon does.
Well, and not buy it. Like the thing that I'm buying to listen to all of this music is not the music. It's Amazon Prime. And so I'm sort of getting this music for free, which...
So it must not have any value.
Right, which to me would not make it a valuable thing. I would rather, you know, I am a person who still buys music, regardless of the format that it's in. I still buy physical CDs from time to time. But when I buy music, like I'm buying it because I want to listen to it all the time whenever I want to. And I'm not somebody who spends a lot of time on a lot of streaming services. So to me, it seems like it would almost undervalue it in some way if it's stuff that I can just find on Amazon Prime Music and listen to whenever I want. That doesn't seem, you know, it does seem less valuable to me that way.
Okay, so what I'm going to do now is assume, because it makes me feel better, that instead of simply holding out for more money, Universal is acting in the best interest of the artists it represents by trying to avoid devalue. I really tried to get through it.
You got a lot farther in that than I think most people would have, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so another topic I want to look at today. This is a piece you wrote, Kelly, and it's just really cool. And it's about the history of the command key, the propeller key, the Apple key, the splat key, whatever you want to call it. The special function key on the Apple keyboard. So enlighten us.
Oh, it's the little key that's next to the space bar in either direction, because there's one on each side.
On an Apple keyboard.
On an Apple keyboard. And right now it's called the command key. If I look at my keyboard, there's the little sort of four-cornered symbol, and it says command on the key. A lot of aftermarket will just say command or CMD on that key, and it's the Apple key. I mean, to me, it's always been the Apple key. I finally broke myself of the habit of calling it the open Apple key just about the time the Apple disappeared altogether from the keyboard, which was kind of a bummer. But what it is it was a key that was developed for the keyboard in order for people to operate things. So if you've ever gone command Q for quit, or command W to close a window, or command N to create a new file or a new folder, all of these things are keyboard commands. And initially what happened was when they were developing software for the Macintosh, there was an Apple. It had a little the key had a little Apple logo on it,
and that they were goes going back through to the Apple II days.
Yes. And in the Apple II days, there was an open Apple key and a closed Apple key, and they did different stuff, which is why sometimes I forget there's a command key over on the right-hand side of my keyboard, because the open Apple was the only one that ever actually did anything. So Steve Jobs was looking at, I'm not going to remember which particular piece of software it was, but it had a lot of menu command. It had a lot of commands. And so in all of the menus, there were all these little Apple symbols all over the place for Apple C for copy and Apple X for cut and Apple V for paste. And he went to the designers and said, "You're taking the Apple logo in vain," which I thought was just, I don't know what it is that always struck me about hearing this story, but that was the part that always stuck with me.
That's fun.
Was, "You're taking the logo in vain." And so Susan Kare of other flavors of Apple design fame, including Claris the dog cow, Moof, and others. Moof.
And all the icons in the original Mac OS.
Yeah, all the stuff that you remember from the olden days. Anybody who remembers the icon garden at Cupertino, that was basically all her. And so she went through this book of international symbols and found a Swedish campground symbol that had this little sort of four-cornered roundabout kind of symbol, and it means a place of interest. And that was what ended up being adapted into the Apple key or the command key, and that's where it comes from today. And the thing I always liked about this story was taking the logo in vain, but also the fact that somebody sat down and looked at that and went, "You're putting our logo all over everything, and like the logo should be a little more special than that. We need to do something different." So then it became the splat key or the propeller key, or
I've heard it called the pretzel key more than anything.
Or the pretzel key, yes.
I heard propeller key more than anything else. Maybe it's a regional thing.
It could be.
Yeah, I don't see how you get a propeller out of that, but that's just me.
Yeah, I was really, like, on a very fundamental level, upset when Apple took the open Apple symbol off of the command key.
Yeah, me too.
It was like a personal affront that Apple would do such a thing. And totally irrational, because it's not like the key performs differently without the Apple symbol on there, because it had the propeller on there too.
Mm-hmm. The thing I always liked about it was in the menus, it was never the Apple key. It was always the command key. It always had the little symbol on it, not the Apple logo. And I liked it because it gave me an Apple logo on the front, like on the part that I look at the most. Because we all know about the Apple symbol on the back of the laptop, which was upside down, remember, at one point.
Yeah, so, that was what Wall Street, Lombard, and Pismo was upside down.
It was the wrong way. So I liked having an Apple logo I could see and not just the one that I was showing everybody else, which was part of why I enjoyed having it on the keyboard in the first place.
Yeah, it was just a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling having that sitting there.
Yeah, and I was sad to see it go. I wish I knew more about the decision to have it banished. But in any case, the fact that the command key is what it is, I always thought that was a really interesting story. And so seeing someone else write it up because they too thought it was interesting was the part that I passed on. So
and the great thing for me is that from this point forward, when I'm talking to you, Brian, about command key combos, I'm going to start calling them propeller key combos just for you.
Excellent. I think it's about time we found a way to needle me.
To communicate effectively.
Yes. And I'm certain that you'll come up with something like the strawberry key.
Or the washing key.
Or the washing key. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's enough mispronunciations for me for today. So I'm going to wrap it up. Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course.
And Brian, thank you for joining me too.
Yeah, don't sleep off once again.
Mon ami.